While we're waiting, my name is Senai Goitom. I'm a student at the LaFalte School of Public Affairs, University of Wisconsin. I'm doing my master's in public administration, and this is a project that I worked on with Andy Rushofsky, also at the LaFalte School of Public Affairs, and Susan Zahner with the School of Nursing. So, revenue generation as budget strategy, predictors of per capita local health department, non-local government revenues. It's a mouthful, I know.
There's no acronym?
No, yeah, yeah, even the acronym is unwieldy. I have no financial interest to disclose. I would like to acknowledge the support for funding here. So, the effect of the economic crisis on local health departments, as I'm sure you know, the housing collapse and the Great Recession led to steep budget cuts at all levels of government. In Wisconsin, the deficits were closed primarily through spending and spending cuts. In particular, Wisconsin now, in the 2011 to 2013 budget cycle, has another sort of relatively severe revenue limit in the form of property tax, so a property tax levy limit. So basically the state has told counties and municipalities that they cannot raise property tax levies more than the value of net new construction, so which is essentially zero. And unfortunately this is going to impact the single largest source of revenue for local health departments. So, given these constraints, we wanted to look at what non-local government sources are available to local health departments and their patterns, because at least in the next several years, they're going to become increasingly important. And the study represents a first step in understanding the factors affecting these different revenue sources. Okay, so a little description about local health departments in Wisconsin. There are 92 of them, primarily county. There are, you know, a fair number of single jurisdiction municipalities and some multi-jurisdictional municipalities, and they provide services including communicable disease control, increasingly, as we heard in earlier presentation, local health departments are shifting their responsibilities to things like chronic disease prevention. And finally, we have environmental health, and these are primarily in the form of inspections of restaurants and lodging facilities. Local health departments often charge fees for those, as we heard, and that is going to we'll come back to that later. Now, the state. The other thing about Wisconsin is there's a lot of autonomy, like in Massachusetts. The state actually does not provide much revenue in the direct revenue, and it serves primarily to coordinate service and the distribution of federal funds. So, as in Massachusetts, Wisconsin, the responsibilities primarily rest with the local health departments themselves. So, our research questions were, what are the patterns of non-local government revenue, and what are the community and local health department characteristics, principally organizational characteristics, that may affect this? We were fortunate enough to have data from 92 health departments spanning from 2002 to 2009 for a total of 746 observations. Most of the data of interest that we had comes from the local health department survey, which is an annual survey that local health departments fill out and submit to the Department of Health Services in Wisconsin, and that includes information on revenue and expenditures disaggregated by various types, as well as information on personnel. But we were here focused primarily on the revenue data. We combined that with some demographic data from the census. This is mostly county-level data. So in the case, in the case of the local health departments that are county health departments, there's a one-to-one match, but it's a little imperfect when you look at county characteristics with local health departments that are municipalities. And finally, we also looked at revenue, Department of Revenue data. So we sort of merged these data sets to create a unique source of information. So here we see that the primary sources, the primary source, just over half of local health department revenue actually comes from these local government sources, property tax, some sales tax, and shared revenue. And the focus of this presentation is going to be these other sources, the fees, federal grants, state and private grants, as well as donations from individuals. So this is a graph showing aggregate information. So this is totaling across all the local health departments, breaking down the source of non-local revenue. So you can see that federal revenue is the largest, followed by fees. And consistent with the story that the state has devolved most of the responsibility to local health departments, there's not very much funding coming from the state. And you also see very you know, very small amounts coming from private grants and donations. And again, I should note this is $2010 dollars, and in the analysis that we did, we also controlled for the size of local health departments by using per capita values. So going forward, all the revenue values that you will see are in $2010 dollars, so adjusting for inflation, and then also on a per capita basis. So it's important to remember that. So what we did was we tried to find a model. We used an ordinary least squares regression. We combined all of the observations across years and then grouped them by local health departments for the purposes of reporting standard errors. But basically, what's important here is that we selected a model for non-local government sources in general, just aggregating all of these sources. And then we wanted to see how well that model fit to individual revenue sources. So this is, again, sort of this first step in trying to understand the dynamics of how these characteristics influence revenue. So here are some average some summary statistics, and sort of as a basis of comparison, that top line is the local tax revenue. So you can see it's a sizable chunk, and it is, again, these are on a per capita basis in $2010 dollars. So this is an average of $17 per person in local health departments, averaging across local health departments and across years, followed by federal and close behind fees. So you can see that federal and state, there's not a lot that the local health department can do to control that, especially you have with federal funds, a lot of those are formula grants. Fees are, something that local health departments can do something about. So it's interesting that here you have, fees up there as a sizable amount. And you also see a great deal of variation. The minimum reported went all the way from zero, in some cases for fees, to $77 on a per capita basis. So there's a great deal of variation in the fees that are charged by local health departments, as you saw in Massachusetts, and sort of lagging far behind are private grants, and these are, again, like from nonprofit institutions, Robert Wood Johnson, and then donations are from individuals, basically, that bequests and so forth. These are the summary statistics for community characteristics. The top line, local government general purpose revenue, this is, you can think of this as the pot that local health departments have access to in their local government. So in Wisconsin, general purpose revenue is basically property taxes, shared revenue, which is unrestricted, that's coming from the state that they give out to all counties and municipalities, and sales tax, which some counties have, some counties don't, and there's no municipal sales tax in Wisconsin. So this applies only to county health departments in counties that have sales tax. But that, on a per capita basis, that number is the per person amount. So you can think of it as like how wealthy, basically, the government is, the local government. Then you have the population of the local health department, and these are some of the regressors that that we use for the community characteristics. Living in poverty, per capita personal income as a measure of wealth. Local health departments at the bottom here, Wisconsin has divided local health departments for administrative purposes into five regions. We thought there might be some regional variations, so we also included that, and that just gives you a count, so by region, of the number of local health departments. So these are the statistical, or the summary statistics for the organizational characteristics. A little bit about this Chapter 140 certification. This is a proxy for size and scope of service. So there are three certification levels in Wisconsin, and each one corresponds to an increasing set of responsibilities. So one is the sort of the lowest, and that is basically the statutorily mandated services by the state that all local health departments have to provide. And then as you sort of go up the ladder, there are more services that the health departments are expected to provide their constituents. And the percent of total services offered, this was something that we constructed. It's a little finer grained, I guess. It's a one-shot survey that was done in 2006. So it's not as accurate, but basically the Department of Health Services went around and asked local health departments. They had a list of something like 190 possible programs that they could conduct, and they were just asked to check off which ones do you do. So this is a rough approximation of how much of what a local health department could be doing is that local health department doing. So here are our results, and for the purposes of sort of clearing away the clutter, I included only those variables that were significant, statistically significant. So that's why you see the white some white space there. Population and population squared are significant. That's interesting because again, we've controlled for population size in the sense of the dependent variable here is per capita revenue. And so what you see is that on a per capita basis, we include population and population squared, so it's kind of a U-shaped curve. So like very small local health departments get relatively more money on a per capita basis. Then as you increase in size, it tends to go down on a per capita basis, but then it goes back up. So the big thing here with respect to Wisconsin is we have one very large outlier in Milwaukee, which is by far the largest local health department. And so what you're seeing here is maybe there are maybe some fixed costs or things that are that every health department has to do. So on a per capita basis, if you're small, you're getting more revenue, and as you go down, you get less. But then as you go up, maybe you have more need in your population. We also see that personal income, at least with respect to all non-local government sources, is negative and significant. So the wealthier a local health department jurisdiction is, the less they're getting, and that may be a reflection of need again. So I should go back. Across the top, basically, are the different categories of non-local revenue. So you're seeing the coefficients reported for donations as a dependent variable, private grants as a dependent variable, state grants as a dependent variable. And you can see there is a great deal of regional variation, at least with respect to the private grants and donations. And here you see that the structural characteristics are also significant for several of these sources. In particular, percent of total services offered is positively related to revenue across for all aggregated non-local sources, federal fees, and states. And I mean, that makes sense. Basically, we're saying the more a local health department is doing, the more money they're going to be getting. Interestingly, we have a time trend here, which means that over time, and again, controlling for inflation, so this is not just because of inflation, you are seeing an upward trend in non-local sources of revenue, so they are becoming more important. And down at the bottom, you can see just how well the fit for each model is. And so you can see they're reasonably good fits for federal fees and state dollars, not so good for private grants and donations. And it's probably because there are a lot of zeros in there, so you can probably expect that something like that is very idiosyncratic. You get private grants, maybe this year, next year you don't get it. So there is a lot of zeros in the data, so it's sort of difficult to really draw any conclusions, strong conclusions for those. The results here. So federal and fee revenues, by far the most important. Fee revenues being something that the local health departments have some control over. Then the variables affecting these levels, larger population, low revenue, again with the caveat that I said, once you get up into really large populations, you do see an increase in per capita revenue. And then these proxies for need, high personal income and maybe a more educated population, that's another proxy maybe for demand for these services, lead to lower revenue. Western region, so this is actually sort of the Northwest region, they for some reason have a higher per capita revenue, not really sure why that is, but and then finally the certification and the scope of services is associated with higher revenue. The more a local health department is doing, the more money they're receiving. So the implications for that, I want to focus on the last point here, which is what was interesting is that we used the level 2 local health department as our comparison group, and so we found that level 3 local health departments received a greater revenue on a per capita basis, and that was significant, but there wasn't really a statistically significant difference between level 1 and level 2. And so if you think about from the standpoint of, well, level 2 local health departments are expected to do more than a local level 1 local health department, but they're not receiving more local non-local sources of revenue, that's a potential source of a revenue gap. Next steps, obtain data on the fee structure. So, we looked into this, and there is no systematic source of data on fee schedules. Wisconsin has a setup where a local health department can contract with the state to be an inspection agent. So they actually have to seek out that relationship. And once they do that, then they are essentially responsible for the inspections in their jurisdiction as opposed to the state. A number of local health departments have done that, and I would guess that a number that are currently not inspection agents may become inspection agents if that means that they're going to be able to obtain sources, that source of revenue. We also have, as I said earlier, data on expenditures. So this is one half of the picture. You may be receiving more or less revenue, but you're also going to be spending more or less. So to get a more complete picture of the fiscal condition of local health departments, we want to combine combine these two aspects and look at maybe the dynamics of expenditure and revenue over time. And then finally, something that's interesting, it doesn't look that significant right now as a source of revenue, but if we are entering a phase where government funding is going to be declining for local health departments for a prolonged period of time, then it may be necessary, as we saw in the last presentation, to really look for more creative sources, and that would include partnerships with either nonprofits or for-profit corporation or some sort of model that sort of actively seeks donations. And that is all for now.
Great. Thank you. So finally, we can open it up for questions. I should put everybody's question slides up there. They're all done very nice. Pumpkin. So how about some questions for these folks?
So I happen to be a health officer for Adams.
Oh.
So that's a small world of the county, and I just wonder if you look at population density at all, or if you think about that. Because a lot of those small counties that you're talking about are also very rural and very poor.
Yeah.
So I think that's why the number is higher. So was there any correlation? I'm just
yeah, with population density, we did. No. We do have that in the data set. And, you know, I included it in some of the regressions, but that is something that. Look at it. But in the broader sort of literature on like public local public finance, density is an important aspect of that. So
and I would just encourage I found this very interesting for myself, and I know a lot of us would love for you to share this with us. And you're always welcome to come to the wall that you for each of the regions.
Okay.
And we would
take it on the road.
Well I'm gonna probably tell them that contact you. So I think we would really like to hear that and hear, I think, from both of us, because I do have an information source and those people that don't. And
yeah.
Also, did you look at the tool at all, that the reporting tool that you actually were using your data from?
The local health department survey?
Our survey?
Yeah.
Okay. I found it only when we filled it out once, and your data would be from when the previous health officer from my county filled it out.
Right.
It's very, I think it's there. Based on the emails that circulate at the time when it comes out, I'm not sure how consistent the answers are that you're getting.
Maybe we should talk.
Yeah. This gentleman on the end.
Yes, thank you. This conference brings together thousands of people, all with great ideas for public health, and yet none of it happens without money. And I don't know about everybody else in the room, but my local health department is struggling just beyond the bad economy. That affects the private donors. It affects what the government's giving us. And so I appreciate that of all the sessions here, there was at least one that I could find that addressed funding sources. So I'm grateful for the presentation. A couple of questions that I had, and it's really fascinating how differently the state's local health systems are structured. And we got two different examples that are different from each other. Mine couldn't be, it's like from a different planet of what you guys had. So in my state, we're not even allowed to collect donations. So we've had to open a 501c3 similar mission just for the sake of being able to accept donations. So the two questions that I had was, number one, is it really legal to accept donations, or did you have to find another way to do it? And number two, did anybody evaluate, we kind of touched on it just at the second to last slide of the whole show, did anybody touch on what's being done with fees and internally within health departments, maybe raise fees or generate money from within as compared to outside sources during difficult times? Anybody, that's for anybody.
I don't know about Massachusetts accepting donations. That's not something I looked at. I'm working on this. But in terms of fees, that this is the first step. I was able to present to some of the health professionals, and so in Western Massachusetts, and so I'm hoping that this is something they will at least consider in terms. I mean, for me especially, just in terms of covering costs, even if it's not to generate extra revenue, just to cover the cost. But there's definitely other considerations. I didn't explore that, I know someone else does, but there are other considerations, and fees are definitely something that they can do something about.
And I mean, just to add to that, I think one of the things that complicates it is that there really hasn't been a lot of work on, in the sense like the demand, how demand would respond to an increase in fees.
Right.
So it's not entirely clear that, simply raising fees for a local health department will actually generate, more revenue if the population is going to respond by cutting back. And I think there's some evidence that, individuals have scaled back on the amount of health services they consume generally because of the recession. So, I mean, it's a possibility, I think, but one that probably requires more careful analysis.
Yeah.
I have a lot of popcorn here, so if we can come back to your question and give some other people a chance as well to do this. Up front, you had anything?
Aligned with this conversation, do any of your states have restraints, the states, put on local health departments in terms of, like in the state of Georgia, they're not allowed to increase taxes, and I think taxes of any kind, call them fees or whatever you want to call them.
Right.
I don't know that in Wisconsin there are any statutory requirements.
It's countywide, so the is within the county.
Right. I mean, there were, like I alluded to at the beginning, the revenue limits placed upon county and municipal governments, but to my knowledge, there aren't any directly on local health department fees.
Okay. I had some hands up in the back.
Yes, I had a comment to your question. I'm from Michigan, Detroit, Wayne County area. And we struggle with the economy, as like you were mentioning, and fees had been a sort of a issue that we had brought up several times, and there was really no political, backing to that. A lot of times we were told, hey, these are public health services for indigent population, you shouldn't really, propose fees on that end. And slowly things have started to change. They started to cut, local funding, and we made the argument, okay, if you're cutting local funding, allow us to increase fees. So recently, we were able to increase some fees on the environmental health side, but now there's some guidelines coming from the state. They're looking at SPD program funding cuts, and they're saying now you should look at Medicaid billing and possibly other fees. So, I mean, some changes are starting to happen, so there's some hope. But really, I mean, the idea then again is, like, if we start closing fees, are people going to scale back and not avail our services? Like that delicate balance. So it's kind of a tough situation. And secondly, I wanted to comment on your unit. I used to work in Wisconsin. I spent a lot of time in Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin area. And I think if you look at the western part of the state, you said that there was a per capita higher revenue that you might explain. Maybe you can contact the Department of Health Services and look at their funding formulas. And I think partly maybe because there's kind of this assumption that because it's like a Minneapolis metro area, cost of living is higher, some of the allocations take into account those cost of living things.
Okay.
So, you might want to check into that. And that's just my assumption because that's what we usually heard. Why are they getting more money? Because it's too expensive to provide services in that area because of being close to the Minneapolis metro area.
Comments from Mr. Coyle. I think I'm glad you're trying to address this very complicated issue. I think there, and technically it looks okay, but I think there's some validity issues of what you're saying. So for example, even your simple use of a mean in some earlier slides is inappropriate because Milwaukee's going to skew significant, right?
Sure.
So I think that's not correct. And I think the reason you're picking up some of these things where you said you're trying to standardize the population, but you're still seeing a correlation there, is because it's not a continuous variable. And that what you really should be looking at is like nature divides health departments based on the population size, so it's categorical. So you really, I think you really need to go back and relook at this. You don't come out with some correlations which I don't think are valid. And I think the closest that you're getting is like your chapter 140 levels, because for example, primary health care is the big thing that will significantly change things. So if you've got a health department that's doing primary health care, your revenues and your costs are so bizarrely different from everyone else that it's going to throw you way out somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you really need to go back and re-examine this in terms of your basic statistics and how you're looking at the data, in terms of how, I think that you need to do categories and break it down by population size or level, and that you cannot treat it as a continuum.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
I just would like to say something on the fee structure. I'm from North Dakota. And we have an excess in our budget in North Dakota just because of circumstances, but that doesn't help public health so much. And we did, over the last 5 years, increase our fees substantially and did not lose population because of it. I mean, we were still very careful where we were, but where we've been losing clients is to healthcare. I mean, when they get covered by insurance, that's where we lose. But the fees have increased, and then they're going to start increasing a little bit every year instead of waiting so long in between and get a big jump, because people would accept that.
I'm just going to follow up on that, because I know in our health department, I mentioned just helping St. Clair County, a little more rural, but we have been relying more and more on our Medicaid reimbursement. And my concern about that is that we are now competing with healthcare delivery systems, and I don't believe public health is in a position to really succeed in that competition. And yet we are very heavily relying on the Medicaid reimbursement. So it's just an issue, I think, that needs to be considered in the budget issue.
I have a second to take here. I want to thank you all. This is being brought to you and sponsored by the Health Administration section of the American Public Health Association, of which I'm a member of that section. There's several others here who are. We thank you for coming. We do want to encourage you to be involved in our section. There are two more business meetings coming up tomorrow morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Yes. It's early. Wednesday morning at 7 to 8 once again, and I have they're in your brochure or your book, but I have a location for you as well, plus our Tuesday night, tomorrow night, there's the section social and awards ceremony. So thank you very much on behalf of the Health Administration section. Thank you very much for our presenters. It was really fantastic and a great opportunity. Thank you all for coming.